Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
With Currys PC World, making it easier to choose sustainable technology.
Now, I must say this morning I was listening to the radio very early, as I normally do every day, and I heard a sequence of witness testimony from the Derek Chauvin trial. He's the man accused of murdering George Floyd. And to say it's a distressing listen, and we heard some of it with Simon Marks yesterday as well, to say it's a distressing listen is an understatement. A number of people who were around the place, the point where George Floyd was killed and was arrested and detained, clearly in the way that he was, describing in real, you know, minute detail the events that they were witness to and party to in some cases as well. Simon, bring us the latest from this trial, because all eyes are on it, certainly in the States, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so, Sheila. The trial has just got started for the day, and a new witness has been sworn in and taken the stand, and already things have become very emotional, because she is Courtney Ross, George Floyd's girlfriend. She's been on the stand for the last 4 or 5 minutes describing how she met George Floyd back in 2017. She became very emotional describing that, and now the prosecution is continuing to ask her background information about her relationship with George Floyd. Let's listen.
If you touch the screen, it's going to write on there. So, sorry. You familiar with this photograph?
Yes.
What kind of photograph is this?
It's a portrait of George Floyd they're looking at.
I would call it a dad selfie.
And why would you call it that?
I'm just joking, but a lot of dads, like, sometimes don't have the best angle. When they take selfies, it's kind of lower, and it just, it, I don't, it's, they don't, I don't know, don't take the time to maybe do the certain angles that everybody else does.
And so this is you believe a selfie that he took?
Yes. Right. I believe it was outside of the Salvation Army.
Do you recall about roughly when this was taken?
From the sweater he was wearing, I think it was, the fall of 2017.
Did Mr. Floyd have any children?
Yes.
How many children did he have?
2 girls.
And did he try to be a part of their lives as much as he could?
Yes, he loved his girls. It was hard being in Minnesota, you know, long distance, but...
So his daughters were not in Minnesota? No?
No.
I want to make sure that your voice is loud enough for everybody to hear. At some point, when you knew Mr. Floyd, did you learn of his mother's death?
Yes.
Did you recall when that was?
It was in May of 2018.
And did you see, well, describe if you would for the jury what you saw, his reaction to his mother's death.
Floyd's what I would call mama's boy. I could tell from the minute I met him. And when he came back from Houston, he seemed kind of like a shell of himself. Like he was broken. He seemed so sad. He didn't have the same kind of bounce that he had.
Very emotional testimony coming from Courtney Ross, George Floyd's girlfriend, at the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. He, of course, is facing second and third degree murder charges in connection with George Floyd's death on the streets of Minneapolis last May. And in the scenes that we witnessed yesterday in the trial, once again, we heard from prosecution witnesses who were expressing more remorse over their actions on the day of George Floyd's death than we've ever heard expressed by Derek Chauvin. And one of those witnesses was Christopher Martin, the 19-year-old cashier in the convenience store that George Floyd walked into. And it was George Floyd's fateful decision to enter that convenience store and then use a counterfeit $20 bill to buy a packet of cigarettes that started the train of events that led to police being called and ultimately led to George Floyd's death. Christopher Martin attempted to make small talk, he testified yesterday, with George Floyd and concluded very rapidly that George Floyd at the time was under the influence of drugs.
So when I had asked him if he played baseball, he went on to respond to that, but it kind of took him a little long to get to what he was trying to say. So it would appear that he was high.
And indeed, it was pretty evident from the closed circuit security camera footage from inside the supermarket that was played to the jury that indeed George Floyd was under the influence of drugs. And then came those sort of moments of minutiae that led to the death of George Floyd. Christopher Martin took the $20 bill from George Floyd in exchange for the packet of cigarettes. George Floyd left the shop with the cigarettes. Christopher Martin went to see the shop manager and said, I think this is a fake 20. And the shop manager said, right, go outside and bring the customer back in, which Mr. Martin attempted to do. He failed in that endeavor. George Floyd wouldn't come back into the shop. Mr. Martin came back into the shop, went back to the manager and said, I tell you what, I'll just replace this $20 bill with a 20 out of my pocket. It's not worth the fuss. And in an absolutely fateful twist of events, the manager said, no, don't do that. Go and get him and get him back into the shop. And a second attempt to bring George Floyd back into the store failed, at which point police were called. And the rest, as we all know, is tragedy. But Christopher Martin became one of those bystanders on the street outside the shop watching the limp body of George Floyd being put into an ambulance after Officer Chauvin had knelt on Mr. Floyd's neck for 9 minutes.
We saw you standing there with your hands on your head for a while, correct?
Correct.
What was going through your mind during that time period?
Disbelief and guilt.
Okay. Why guilt?
If I would have just not taken the bill, this could have been avoided.
If he hadn't taken that $20 bill, it could have been avoided. He and other witnesses have indicated that they are living with remorse over their own actions that day. The defense, of course, continues to argue that it was George Floyd's opioid addiction that was largely responsible for his death, as opposed to the actions of Derek Chauvin.
And that's very striking, isn't it? Even just on day two or three of the trial, that all of the witnesses have expressed that kind of, it's trauma really, isn't it? That they're traumatized by what they saw and they worry that they didn't do enough.
Yeah, no question about it. We heard from Darnella Frazier, the 18-year-old woman who actually filmed that 9.5-minute reel of cell phone footage that, of course, went viral and was seen around the world and contributed to the sparking of protests in Minneapolis and globally over the police treatment of George Floyd. And she testified that she wakes up at night thinking about George Floyd and deeply remorseful remorseful for having filmed the video as opposed to putting her cell phone back in her pocket and intervening physically to try and save his life. Now, you know, the flip side of that coin is, of course, that cell phone video and much of the video that we're seeing at this trial has been, of course, extraordinarily valuable to investigators as they have built their case against Derek Chauvin. And there's no question that that 9.5 minute piece of video is an extraordinarily problematic piece of video for the defense, because you hear these bystanders constantly saying to Derek Chauvin, check his pulse, he's fading away, he's passed out. Minutes after, it would have been perfectly possible on the face of it for Derek Chauvin to remove his knee from George Floyd's neck and engage in sort of basic duty of care. The testimony from the emergency medical technician, the off-duty Minneapolis Fire Department EMT, who actually moved towards George Floyd, having identified herself as a medical technician, and said to the police officers, we need to take his pulse, and they pushed her back physically. So the defense is going to have a mountain to climb here, although they are going to point to toxicology reports that show that George Floyd had enough fentanyl in his body at the time of his death for it to have been potentially fatal. Now, the prosecution says there's no evidence in the medical reports to suggest that opioid addiction killed George Floyd. That's why they're prosecuting these murder charges. But that's where this trial is heading. You know, after we get past the prosecution evidence and what is going to be today, I suspect, a very emotional day. As Courtney Ross continues testifying, George Floyd's girlfriend, this trial is going to end up in the weeds of those medical reports, because that is where defense lawyers believe they are going to find the way of persuading, and they've only got to persuade one juror, persuading one member of the jury that there's doubt about what actually caused George Floyd's death.
Thank you for now, Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. It's 3:46.